That's what was new. The arrival of a new equilibrium between hope and fear. The sense, shared by adults and youth alike, that some, if not most of our boys, were slipping beyond rescue. Even lifelong Southsiders, like Johnny, noticed the change. "I ain't never seen it like this, Barack," he would tell me one day as we sat in his apartment sipping beer. "I mean, things were tough when I was coming up, but there were limits. We'd get high, get into fights, but out in public, at home, if an adult saw you getting loud or wild, they'd say something, and most of us would listen. You know what I'm saying? Now, with the drugs, the guns, all that's disappeared. Don't take a whole lot of kids carrying a gun. Just one or two. Somebody says something to one of them, and pow, kid wastes them. Folks hear stories like that, they just stop trying to talk to young cats out here. We start generalizing about them, just like the white folks do. We see them hanging out, we head the other way. After a while, even the good kid starts realizing, ain't nobody out here gonna look out for him. So he figures he's gonna have to look out for himself. Bottom line, you've got 12-year-olds making their own damn rules." Johnny took another sip of his beer. "I don't know, Barack. Sometimes I'm afraid of them. You've got to be afraid of somebody who just doesn't care. Don't matter how young they are." After I was back in my own apartment, I thought about what Johnny had said. Was I afraid? I didn't think so, at least not in the way that Johnny had meant it. Wandering through tough neighborhoods, my fears were always internal, the old fears of not belonging. The idea of physical assault just never occurred to me. Same thing with the distinction Johnny had made between good kids and bad kids. The distinction didn't compute in my head. It seemed based on a premise that defied my experience, an assumption that children could somehow set the terms of their own development. I thought about the little boys that I often saw, scampering around the South Side's broken roads. Where did they sit along the spectrum of goodness? If they ended up in a gang or in jail, would that prove their essence somehow? A wayward gene? Or just the consequences of a malnourished world? And what about Kyle, Ruby's son? How did one explain what he was going through? I leaned back in my chair thinking about him. Kyle had just turned 16. The 2 years since my arrival had given him several inches, added bulk, the shadow above his upper lip, first efforts at a mustache. He was still polite to me, still willing to talk about the Bulls. "This would be the year Jordan took him to the finals," he said. But he was usually gone whenever I stopped by, or on his way out with friends. Some nights, Ruby would call me at home just to talk about him, how she never knew where he was anymore, how his grades had continued to drop in school, how he hid things from her, the door of his room always closed. "Don't worry," I would tell her. "I was a lot worse at Kyle's age." I don't think she believed that particular truth, but hearing the words seemed to make her feel better.